Who is God? Hurricane Harvey slams Houston and surrounding communities. Homes are destroyed, a chemical plant explodes, people die. A massive volunteer response with little official leadership begins almost immediately. A businessman, Mattress Mack. Do you all know Mattress Mack from Texas? Mattress Mack turns his mattress store into a safe haven. Yet a massive megachurch who should have been prepared comes late to the dance in offering assistance. In but a few short days, Hurricane Harvey, projected to be at least the second costliest storm in U.S. history, may be surpassed by Hurricane Irma, which has already brought devastation to islands in the Caribbean. Preparations are being made. Evacuation orders have been observed. But where will people go to escape the wrath of this storm? If Irma continues its track, the storm could bring devastation to almost the entire state of Florida. Adding insult to injury, Hurricanes Jose and Katia aren't far behind. In the meantime, a devastating earthquake has hit Mexico, killing over 65 people and causing severe damage in southern Mexico. We pray in the wake of all this devastation, people will continue to respond with compassion, kindness, and courage. With an unwavering faith, the psalmist tells us the very heavens, all of creation, declares God's glory. As Jesus stills the storm on the Sea of Galilee, the disciples wonder, who is this who commands even the wind and the waves? Hearing stories of the heartbreaking devastation brought by nature's power and the extraordinary human valor in the wake of these catastrophic events, we too are left to wonder, who is this God? A teenage boy with a concave chest undergoes Nussbaum surgery, described on Wikipedia as minimally invasive, to correct his impairment. The surgery goes well. His recovery is remarkable. God is good. Infection sets in. Vegetation grows in his heart. He undergoes open heart surgery to replace a valve. The surgery goes well. He's showing signs of a full recovery. God is good. They have trouble weaning him off the ventilator. His blood pressure spikes. He starts having strokes and seizures. He loses strength and movement on his left side. Perhaps it's only temporary. He must endure brain surgery to remove a clot. Surgery goes well. God is good. He shows signs of recovery. He is alert. His numbers are good. Then comes a bad day. His numbers spiked. They put him back on the ventilator. Another good day, another bad day. Off the ventilator, on again. Another good day. God is good. A woman touches Jesus' cloak. 10 lepers are healed. A blind man sees, a lame man walks. Jesus heals entire villages. Your faith has made you well, he tells them. This boy's family and friends are praying across the country. Countless people have responded with kindness and compassion. His father, my brother, continues to post on social media the many ways God is working in their lives during this ordeal. They bear witness. They show great faith. When will healing come? When will their faith make this child well? Yes, God is good. But who is this God? In our Believe reading this week, we hear of God's great providence in calling forth a people from the offspring of an ancient barren couple, Abraham and Sarah. We watch in wonder as this God decimates Pharaoh's armies. But why did it take 500 years to set God's people free from slavery? We watch in amazement as Moses, Joshua, and Elijah perform great signs and wonders to inspire the people to choose over all the other gods the one true God who gave them life. But who is that God? And where is God's providence? Where are the signs and wonders today? A woman tormented with mental illness just wants to be healed. A man at the bedside of his dying wife finds comfort and peace in serendipitous moments. Five teens die in a tragic car accident. A child is found clinging to her lifeless mother. Amidst the agonies and ecstasies of life, we want to believe God is good. But who is this God? In our reading from Paul's second letter to the church in Corinth, Paul provides insight into this question, who is God? By offering a blessing, the threefold blessing of God. Paul writes, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. For Paul and for us, the one true and living God who creates, redeems, and sustains all life is known in three distinct persons. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But even more, we discover relationship, communion, love is at the heart of God's identity and ours. God is the God of grace. The God of redeemed and restored relationships. The God of love. You may remember, Paul was influential in starting the church at Corinth and had a deep love, almost like the love of a parent, for the people of Corinth. Perhaps because of his deep love for them, Paul's relationship with the Corinthians was one of extreme heartache and extreme joy. Paul's first letter to the Corinthians tells of the many issues creating the conflict between Paul and the Corinthians. Most notable, the Corinthians had forsaken Paul's teaching for that of the super apostles. Seeking to restore their relationship, Paul sets out to visit Corinth, sending Titus on ahead. When Titus returns, he bears good news. The Corinthians are no longer angry at Paul. Their relationship with Paul has been restored. Relieved and grateful, Paul offers his farewell greeting. He says, "Finally, brothers and sisters, farewell. Put things in order. Listen to my appeal. Agree with one another. Live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the saints greet you. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all." In Paul's farewell, we hear what Paul wants most for his sisters and brothers. He wants them to rejoice. The NRSV translates that word farewell, but I disagree. Go ahead and laugh, yeah. I hope Art finds it funny too. I disagree. The word farewell can also be translated rejoice. And I believe Paul wants them to rejoice. I believe Paul wants them to know the joy of Christian love. Paul wants them to be restored to Christ's teachings, the source of their joy. He bids them to be encouraged despite the conflict they have endured. He calls them to unity in Christ, which has eluded them. He encourages them to be at peace, which they are not. He does all of these things in his farewell blessing so they can rejoice in the love of God. For if they do these things, the God of love and peace will be with them. Their life together will be restored. They will know the peace of Christ. They will know the joy of Christian fellowship. For God is the God of restored and redeemed relationships. God is the God of love. My friends, God's very identity provides an example of the Christian community God desires for us. In the one living triune God, in the communion between Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we see the communion for which we are to strive together with each other and with our God. This communion, born in the love of God, is given through the grace of Jesus Christ, who sacrificed everything for our sake and is sustained in the fellowship granted us by the power of the Holy Spirit. Sisters and brothers, this is who God is. The God of reconciliation. The God of love. As we close, I will share with you another favorite benediction. This one attributed to Mother Teresa. She says, "Spread the love of God everywhere you go. First of all, in your own house. Give love to your children, to your wife or husband, to a next-door neighbor. Let no one ever come to you without leaving better and happier. Be the living expression of God's kindness. Kindness in your face, kindness in your eyes, kindness in your smile, kindness in your warm greeting. The love of God reflected in her words was made flesh in her ministry and is remembered in a story recounted by James Howell in his book, Yours Are the Hands of Christ. He writes, moved by Mother Teresa's ministry, a wealthy woman from the West offered to write a check to support her work. Mother declined. I won't take your money. The woman insisted, reminding her she had great resources to donate. But Mother still said, no money. Exasperated, the woman stammered, well, what can I do? Mother said, come and see. She led the woman by the hand down into a dreadful barrio, found a desperately dirty, hungry child, and asked the woman to take care of him. Her pocketbook being of no avail, the woman took a cloth and water basin and bathed the child. Then she spooned cereal into the child's mouth. The woman reported later that her life was changed. Beloved, when I consider the agony and ecstasy of our existence, from Calcutta to the Caribbean, Houston to Traverse City, when I consider the profound joy we share and the sufferings we endure, when I consider the storms of nature and of life, I, like you, still have many questions about who God is. And I hope to spend the rest of my life trying to answer them. But in spite of all the questions, I have seen enough to know whoever else God may be, God is love. Thanks be to God. Amen.